Welcome to Zero to Start, a podcast about immersive development that brings you inspiring conversations with immersive creators, developers, and industry leaders. I'm your host, Ceciliana Treviño. Subscribe to Zero to Start on your favorite podcast platform and follow our new podcast page on LinkedIn. My special guest today is Kavya Perlman, founder and CEO of XRSI, X-Reality Safety Intelligence, a leading nonprofit organization globally recognized for advocating safety, privacy, security, and inclusion in a domain of emerging technology. This December 10th, on Human Rights Day, XRSI will kick off their fourth annual Metaverse Safety Week, XRSI's flagship conference, an annual occasion to dive into what you need to know about safety in the metaverse. Let's get started. Welcome to Zero to Start, Kavya. It's great to have you on the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad that I ran into your post about Metaverse Safety Week, and you're here to tell us all about it and why it's so critical right now.
Absolutely. Good timing on reaching out to me because, Metaverse Safety Week each year begins on 10th of December, which is International Human Rights Day. So every year, it's going to be fourth year, 10th of December, we celebrate everything focused on human rights, and primarily to bring attention to important issues like safety, privacy, children's safety, medical XR, how people will potentially end up seeking immersive care, which is care, healthcare, through all kinds of immersive technologies. And so overall, you know, there is this whole phenomena emerging with lots of these technologies coming together, virtual reality, augmented reality, mixed reality. And now we have this massive flux of artificial intelligence that will create these immersive worlds and immersive experiences. And we need to get ready on how we integrate these technologies into our daily lives. This is really critical because this is a time also hackers go heavy on hacking and security issues, scamming, you know, because of holidays and shopping and purchases. They are on the rise. And this is a time when people have a little bit of money and, you know, new devices are coming out. People will buy these headsets and they'll put this on. So it's essentially, you know, time to raise awareness around how we integrate ourselves or how we integrate this technology, because these technologies are inevitably going to require new types of rights as well as potentially violate existing rights to humans. So we go all the way out to, you know, United Nations and other affiliated organizations and bring these world leaders into the loop, into the conversation to try to share technical knowledge as well as policy stuff and, you know, just educate. So that's where it begins. This year, we'll go into immersive healthcare. We call it medical XR, sort of a technical term. When you utilize immersive technologies for healthcare solutions, you could be using it for surgery, for mental health solutions. So lots of use cases there. Then the third day, we will talk about children's safety. Now, children are one of the most vulnerable populations, and we need to educate parents, children, but also the policymakers, because so far we've been, you know, sort of checking the box 13 plus and all is good. But we really need to worry about what kind of impact these technologies have on children's brain, their psyche, and they may believe things are real, which may not be because it's a virtual world, artificially created sometimes.
Such a large use case is social VR.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be the focus for the entire day. Children's safety, social VR, social aspects. This is going to be the entire focus. Children's safety from a medical perspective, children's safety from psychological perspective, when they are in social gathering, when they are, you know, independently. So that's third day. And we also have one of my favorite days thereafter is cybersecurity and data protection, because there's so much more data that goes into the data pipelines because of these immersive emerging technologies. And finally, we'll close out with policy, governance, and regulation focus, where we bring in, you know, last year we had the cyber director from the White House as well as folks from the Air Force, folks from several of these, you know, very impactful global organizations. And we are really trying our level best to draw their attention into what's emerging out of the valley. I mean, I sit out here in San Francisco. This is something that we always experience. There's a disconnect between the DC, Brussels. So we're trying to bridge this gap of understanding as to what's really happening. And that's what Metaverse Safety Week is going to be all about.
Excellent. I am so looking forward to it. It seems like such a robust and really in-depth program to have these key focus areas and spending a full day on them. I was particularly interested in your programming around policy. It seems to be really broad in scope. Like you were saying, you're bridging this gap.
Yeah. And honestly, the best person to talk to you about this is our global policy advisor. She's a senior advisor, Christina Podnar. She actually even wrote a book called The Power of Digital Policy. So at policy level, we need to understand there are two types of policies. There is internal, which is applying to corporate, etc. And then, you know, there is this governmental external policy where you talk about lawmaking and policymaking and governance. And both of these things have to be addressed when it comes to these emerging technologies. So at the policy level, there is still a lot of room because things are constantly emerging and evolving. As you could probably see, a lot of attention is being paid to artificial intelligence policymaking. AI Act from Europe. Recently, we saw Biden-Harris administration put out an executive order for safe, secure, and trustworthy AI. But what we're trying to really, you know, kind of direct and shape the conversation into, what about when these technologies are being used for creating immersive and emerging environments like virtual reality? Using these technologies, now we need to ensure that people are safe in these. So these technologies need to be regulated as well. Corporations need to be regulated. Some laws have to be amended, you know, like children online privacy law. So all of these type of conversations is what we focus on during that day. It's actually really remarkable. I get to learn a lot myself because, you know, sometimes I tend to be very technical. And so understanding these emerging policy landscape and how these things are evolving is really, really, really awesome.
It's this puzzle piece that is going to impact the way that we create in these spaces and where the guardrails are. There's so much more data points, as you said. Can you talk a little bit about the data collection that's involved when someone's using virtual reality?
So if you want to specifically focus on virtual reality, well, you have to use cameras and sensors through those headsets or sometimes even external sensors, but more and more so these devices are becoming so sophisticated. They have multiple sensors on the device. They have multiple cameras on the device. So let's just take just that. But I mean, then there is this motion capture, other stuff, but there is just so many more data points, meaning the way you tilt your head, the way you gaze at something, if your gaze lingers on, the way you are posing, and you know, sometimes people have this natural tendency to act a certain way, behavioral analysis, pupil dilation. Like there's so much more data points now. It's not like, oh, where did you click on the screen? It's so much more. And recently there had been several research to indicate that you can actually accurately predict who a person is in virtual reality within like sub 10 seconds. With an accuracy of 97%. But if you provide a little bit more data, then almost to 99%. So where does that leave us? That means we can no longer be private. At any given point, somebody could just collect enough amount of data. They call it also biometric data, which is the way your eyes are moving, your iris scan, your biometric scan. So these kinds of things are available up for grabs in the hands of developers sometimes. And developers themselves, they need guidance on how to handle this data so that people's rights are not violated, so that people can feel safe and, you know, they can still remain somewhat private.
What could happen in the wrong hands is that people's user experience is manipulated in some way, some kind of digital identity theft.
So let's think about what's happening. You know, let's say if you ask ChatGPT, hey, who is Kavya Perlman? But ChatGPT goes to the internet, whatever the internet tells it, and it just kind of says that. But let's say if somebody is able to get more and more and more data on me, potentially even recreate a AI agent version of me, which I have no control over. They could also recreate a avatar version of me and then potentially use that. That's something that's already being played with. So women, their voices could be misused, but their behavior could be manipulated using these avatars and AI agents, which is why, you know, this Metaverse Safety Week, we're really focusing on artificial intelligence intersection, because that's what is really going to happen, is people are going to use these devices, use these data points and technologies to recreate these very compelling AI personas that are totally hard to distinguish from whether it is Kavya Perlman or it is just an AI agent. And at that point, one of the primary risks is you have lost the grip on reality. So tell me what's real when you look through your glasses or through your screen. And it's like, no, that absolutely is Kavya. And so the trust in our systems is diminished. If we can't trust what we see through our eyes because we have that much data points in the system that they can just recreate your reality on the fly, that's a problem. And that's already what's emerging on the horizon through this intersection of AI.
What a crazy cliff to be on.
I mean, think about, you know, 2024 elections coming up in the United States. Now, let's say these technologies allow us all these data, behavioral data points. I'll give you an example. When I was working at Facebook, we had heard the claims, very confirmed from Cambridge Analytica, that there were 5,000 data points that they had on each American. They used those data points to manipulate their behavior over time, to target them with certain kind of ads, etc. Now, with more than over 200,000 data points that you can collect in VR in just less than 20 minutes. Now, imagine what those algorithms look like. That was 2016. Like now, you can create so much more sophisticated campaign, so you can almost influence massive amount of people to the point of like, hey, vote for this person, but not that person. And these are much larger risks that go all the way to the political, the democratic, all these levels that, you know, when you talk about policy, governmental, these are the challenges.
You have been seeing these trends from way far back. Is that what drew you into creating XRSI? What motivated you to start?
In 2016, my experience with, you know, working at Meta, Facebook, being the third party security advisor, seeing all the manipulation around election and other stuff, right after I was the head of security of the oldest existing virtual world, Second Life, makers Linden Lab. And that's kind of where my eyes opened up to how the world is evolving. And even though back in 2018, nobody would have believed that avatar will become one of the most prominent ways to communicate online. But that's how I saw it. What I also saw is this inadequacy, like deep sense of like ignorance that everything's going to be fine. And it's like, no, it's not going to be fine. These are issues that will perpetuate, but also amplified because the technology is evolving at a rapid rate. So that's kind of what made me, you know, just start advocating. I almost, in a way, felt like there was an empty chair. Pretty much nobody is leading the voice, leading the space to think about data protection, consent, ethical design, safety by design. There's overall, like, there have been a lot more voices now. But way back when I just started to talk about these issues, there were just none. That's kind of what compelled me to start thinking about how these technologies will impact mental health, emotional well-being. And if we are not making sure that these things are not hacked, then we would fall prey to lots of these, you know, malicious actors.
What are some of the other initiatives and activities that XRSI promotes and is actively engaged in?
We do so much. My God, Siciliano. Sometimes I feel like we do too much. And in fact, I hear that a lot. It's like, how do you ever sleep? But we started in 2019. Right off the bat, we started a diversity and inclusion effort called CyberXR. And through that, we realized children are going to need primary focus, so child safety initiative. And currently, we're working within the child safety initiative on Guardians and Shields framework for these emerging technologies. Medical Advisory Council, Medical XR Advisory Council. So we try to influence FDA, HHS, which are like, you know, these federal agencies in the United States, but also collaborate with UK's healthcare agency that basically educates and takes care of the entire country. So NHS and, you know, just all over the world, whoever needs knowledge from us, over about 60 plus governments we are currently advising. It's an ongoing effort. And of course, Metaverse Safety Week is just one other effort that is so crucial. When I saw this, I couldn't wait for the industry to one day wake up. I was like, okay, if nobody's doing this campaigning to tell people what's coming, let's just get started and people will join us. There's a lot of projects underneath them. These are just like the main programs that we have.
Fantastic. It's wonderful to see the evolution and the momentum that you've been able to gain since 2019. We discussed some of the key highlights and challenges in metaverse safety. What are some other key concepts in XR safety that every beginner in the industry should know?
Everyone should think about their relationship with technology a little bit more deeply. The kind of technologies, virtual reality, extended reality, immersive technologies are, they have a much deeper impact on their potential user. So they really need to reflect and think about ethics. Like, if I can manipulate someone to jump off a cliff, but should I? You know, it's that kind of a design choice that you can make.
The Jurassic Park choice, right?
Exactly. Because these technologies provide you power, a lot of power over the person who is consuming the technology. You can manipulate them in ways that are way more visceral. People can go from 0 to 100, you know, to quote your podcast. So 0 to 100 in few seconds, because they feel so compelled. Suddenly you've seen these videos where people just like put the headset on and they're just like screaming away because they were shown spiders crawling all over or coming for them or some kind of a scary thing. And it's not just scary. It could be very emotional. I remember myself, I was at this conference and they put me on this headset for this sexual harassment or some kind of a harassment training, and where they were just really telling a minority person, it's like, oh, of course, you got this job because you are this woman and you're this and you're Latina and you're this. And it just like, I'm at a conference, I should be fine. And I know that this is not a real world, but I was bawling in like less than 30 seconds. I was crying because as a minority myself, as a woman, I have been subjected to those kinds of, you know, oh, you get the job or you get this because you're this and that. I've had to almost make a list of my 30 plus awards to stop people from debating with me on things that I'm right. So that just had such a visceral reaction on me. And so these are design choices. These are ethical choices that people have to disclose. Like, why didn't anybody tell me that this could have a very visceral response? And here is the exit button if you do end up crying. So what should people know is we have a XRSI privacy and safety framework. Sounds kind of technical, but there are a few things that they really should think about is about providing people not just a check-the-box consent. Underneath that consent, there should live a context why you are taking the data, putting them in some kind of experience, etc. But also control and choice. Like, give me the control over what I'm experiencing here. I should not be at the mercy of somebody or not be able to get myself composed, but also choice. Do I have a choice to get out of this thing without like taking the headset off? So those kinds of things, you know, and I really encourage to just at the very least, what about the basic cyber hygiene? People are still not using good passwords. They still don't use VPN. There's just basic stuff that people are lacking. And then they use that same thing to the virtual reality. So, you know, we have a long way to go when it comes to XR safety concepts being promoted. Through our intelligence, through collective intelligence, we can solve this without having to burn ourselves. We can choose to anticipate, hey, this building is posing all these threats. How about we use technology, we use collective intelligence to simulate these things, to anticipate what the risks are, to craft some kind of a frameworks together globally, to not jump into the building, but instead put safeguards on, use VR to ensure, you know, and sensors to ensure what's happening inside the building. And this is all possible with technology today. So we just need to focus on that aspect of like, hey, we can avoid burning ourselves. We're trying to tell a cautionary tale that we just don't repeat the mistakes of the internet, of the social media, because we had just been going. Like, let's just more users, more data, more stickiness of products. Instead, we should be more concerned about human well-being, human mental health. What about humans, you know, in the era of artificial intelligence on the rise? That could be our focus, and we could avoid all those, you know, you're talking about uncertainty. We could avoid getting burned from uncertainty.
What can parents do to increase safety for their kids when they're using VR this holiday?
I remember it was 2020, actually, and I felt this complete, like, really compelling sense of urgency. And I was like, oh my God, people are going to buy these things and nobody's talking about what our parents supposed to do, what our children supposed to do. So 2020, Ceciliana, we put this infographic together and it's still so fresh. And I looked around on the internet, there was just no guidance. Now, at least there is Common Sense Media Reports, some of the research, etc. But those infographics today, till they live on XRSI website, where, you know, just like top five things that you can do. Hey, you need to care about the safety boundaries. Children, they're excited. They'll take the gift and they just want to run around. They might run into hazard, into furniture. So, you know, just take your time to just kind of clean their play area and, you know, ensure they have safety boundaries enabled. And, you know, in virtual reality, you have to enable those boundaries. Sometimes they're, you know, even they compel you by default, but then you still have to enable them. Don't just talk to strangers, no matter what age. On the internet, you meet strangers. On this immersive media, which eventually will become a full-fledged virtual world, you'll meet people who are pretending to be younger, older. They could be scammers. They could be really malicious actors. So just educating the stranger danger, etc. So these type of tips for parents and children, if you go to www.xrsi.org, right there, we have understanders and research, some of these infographics, top five things, top seven things for parents. And that's more than enough to get started.
Excellent. We will include a link to that directly also in the show notes. How can our listeners get involved and support XRSI?
One of the very big thing that's coming up is the Metaverse Safety Week. So while we have limited capacity, I encourage everyone to sign up to be an observer to these global conversations. That's also where we'll be discussing a lot of these policy, et cetera, all these issues. So that's one way to go to www.metaversesafetyweek.org and become an observer. And if you have a voice, you want to say something, you want to add to the voice, then our programming committee will look at who you are, what kind of message do you want to deliver, and you can even be an active contributor to some of these roundtables, some of these events. You can volunteer with XRSI. And, you know, there's so many students that are in our Slack channel, in our communication channels. Even if they say nothing, they're passively observing how we do things, how things are evolving. So it's a great community to be a part of as a volunteer. Go to the website and reach out and just start learning, because this is just the beginning.
You had mentioned that you worked at Facebook and at Second Life. Can you tell us a little bit about the spark that brought you to technology?
I have to go a little bit further back to explain how the spark began, especially when you talk about technology, not specifically immersive. 2007, I moved from India to the United States and decided to become a hairstylist. And believe it or not, for about 5-6 years, that's all I did. In fact, I was barely earning $10 an hour cutting hair day in, day out, until one day I had a customer who gave me this book called Cyber War. I read it and I made it my mission to align myself with that objective. I wanted to be a cybersecurity officer. So went to college. Turns out I have a beautiful mind. I practically aced all of my classes, maintained a GPA of 4.0 in my grad school, and then ultimately ended up moving to Silicon Valley, California, to work on a corporate immigration law firm. And that's where I was recruited by Facebook. And once I got that environment where technology is really happening at a fast pace, things are changing, challenges are evolving, that's when it just became almost like a crazy passion to keep up with it, but also just to, I just felt this sense of responsibility that if I am a person who can easily and passionately understand challenges that we will face, then I think it's my responsibility to make sure that others can too, and to help bridge that knowledge gap that sometimes may occur.
So a book, you were inspired by a book. I'll be sure to link that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, it's Cyber War by Richard Clark. I will never forget this guy. I was like, you know, we had an interesting conversation and he was like, you sound interesting. You would like this book.
That's the magic of technology. You can go from a service industry job to the cutting edge of safety in a digital universe.
I feel the awe sometimes. So 2021, I was on 60 Minutes. And when they showed up, all of a sudden, the whole studio set up in my home. And I was like, wait, how did I go from hairstylist to now these guys are introducing me as Cyber Guardian? This is like, wow. But, you know, passion, pursuit of knowledge, and mix a little technology in there. You have no idea what humans are capable to do. And I certainly am proud to be able to count myself amongst those.
Well, it's a very inspiring story. I can't wait to see more around Metaverse Safety Week, and definitely encourage all of our listeners to check out the show notes for all the links. Do you have any other final thoughts that you'd like to share?
What we are curating this year at Metaverse Safety Week, how that AI aspect, the whole hype and a lot of noise around artificial intelligence at the intersection of these emerging technologies and AI, how can we utilize in a positive, net positive way? What are the possible implications for these metaverse emerging technologies? What kind of questions it raises? It's a kind of unique conversation that I haven't seen elsewhere happen, not with the right amount of technical knowledge, but also the impactful organizations all the way to the White House, to various other global governments, etc. So that's what I would encourage people who are, even if they're starting in VR, because this intersection is inevitable, it's not going away, and we better get a grasp around this. What happens to these immersive emerging technologies when you have this entire fabric of AI, when it starts building our worlds? We need to get a handle on this, how the human rights will be violated, how would children interact with these things. So that's what I would say. Finally, you know, definitely want to check out Metaverse Safety Week this year, because this is such a unique conversation and one that is really, really important. And according to me and all of our advisors, very urgent for us to focus on this.
Kavya, thank you so much for sharing your inspirational story with us. And we really look forward to seeing all of the progress that you're able to make with XRSI and cybersecurity and safety.
Thank you so much, Siciliana. And I am honored to be here and share all this. And hopefully you will join us on December 10th to 15th, and we'll see you there.
I hope this episode inspires you to explore Metaverse Safety Week and how you can be an advocate for a safe, healthy, and vibrant XR community. Check the show notes for links to Metaverse Safety Week, XRSI initiatives, and how you can be a part of the XRSI community. You can support Zero to Start by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast platform. give us a rating, and share this episode with your community. Thanks for listening. Until next time, happy installing.